Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you. See familiar faces. Amen. And thanks be to God, the Bible says, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And those songs they were singing just about Him and about His blood. And He's the reason we're here. Amen. And you know, the truth is, we know Him. He saved us. We're His children. He's our Father. But, you know, I look at this world and I think we need Him now more than ever. And not just at the world. I look at our churches. I look at our homes. I look at professing Christians. And I think, man, we need Him. Amen. And we certainly need Him here tonight. And that's my prayer, that He'll just show up and meet with us and speak to our hearts. If you would turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 14. Leviticus, chapter number 14. I've been praying about what God would have me to preach. And sometimes we get in the pulpit and we hope we got the right one. Amen. So I hope this is the one. But Leviticus 14, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 33. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is as it were a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go in into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterwards a priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague to an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague become again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean till the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, with the running water and with the living bird, with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word to these, your people. And Lord, I simply ask tonight that you would help us, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, the young as well as the old. I ask that you'd speak to the heart of each person that's here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me now as I preach. Lord, I believe this is a message that you've given me. God, you know I'm just a vessel. And Lord, I'm nothing without you, and I pray simply that I just be a voice. And Lord, I pray that the voice of the Spirit of God tonight would take the Word of God and pierce it into our hearts, into our minds. And Lord, discern and do the work in us that needs to be done this evening, we pray. So help me again, I ask. Hide me behind the cross. Cover me with your blood. Fill me with your spirit. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know one thing. When I read that passage, you can tell I'm not from these parts. Amen. The house. That's how we say it up north in the Canadian parts. And you'll probably get that accent a little bit tonight. But here, God is giving the children of Israel instructions for when they enter into the promised land, the land of Canaan. We know that Canaan can be a picture of the will of God for the believer. It can picture the Christian life. And, you know, God wants it to be a victorious Christian life. But just like when they got to the border of the promised land the first time and they failed by faith to follow God and go in, you know, many are living a defeated life. Many are living a life where they're just wandering in the wilderness. And by the way, if that's you tonight, that's a wasted life. That's an empty life. That's a life without joy. That's a life without hope. And you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be fulfilled until you seek and find the will of God and make a conscious decision that you will do God's will for your life. Stop wandering in the wilderness. Amen. He tells them here that when they get into the promised land, and he deals with leprosy in some of the previous chapters, but he says there could arise a situation when you get into the land of Canaan, when you're in that place of God's will, I want you to think about that, that there could be a plague in the house in which you live.
Right.
A plague in the house in which you dwell. Again, they're going to be in the promised land. They're going to be in the will of God. But there's going to be a problem that arises when this plague enters into the house. And he says it's a plague of leprosy. And probably all of us here tonight know in the Bible that leprosy is a type and a picture of sin. One of the most clear ones in the Bible. We also know that leprosy in the Bible is a result of God's judgment.
Right.
Remember Miriam, amen? And, you know, God plagued her. And so God uses that sometime as judgment. And he mentions here in verse 34, look what he says to them in these verses. In verse 34, he says, when you become into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house. So in other words, this plague of leprosy is brought on by the Lord. And I'll be honest, and you know, unless somebody's got a better idea than I've got tonight, I can't think of any other reason why God would do that other than judgment upon that house. And you ought to just go through here and make note of how many times that word house shows up. And, you know, this is a family meeting, a family conference, whatever you want to call it, a family revival. Amen. That sounds good to me. And I'm not big on conferences and stuff like that, but a family revival. And so I think we should consider some things here that we can learn about this house and these houses of the children of Israel. And, you know, when God puts that plague in that house, in that instance, for whatever reason that it comes, it would greatly affect the entire family that is living in the house. When that leprosy is there, it's not just going to affect the dad or the mom or just have an effect on the children. It's going to affect everyone that's in the house. You say, how do you know that? Read the passage. Read what God tells them to do if this situation arises. And I want us to see, first of all, that there is a recognition here that we find, a recognition of the plague. It says in verse 35, he says, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, look what it says, it seemeth to me. There is, as it were, a plague in the house. So God says the person that owns the house is going to come to the priest and he's going to say, it seems to me, let me put it in, you know, 2023 terminology, that there's a problem in my house.
Right.
And so he recognizes that there's a problem. He recognizes that there's an issue. There's something wrong. He recognizes there's a possibility of contamination in the house. He recognizes there's a possibility of defilement in the house. Amen. But he doesn't know exactly what it is for sure, but he recognizes something is wrong. You know, I imagine that there might have been a smell. Amen.
Right.
You ever deal with that in your home? Sometimes you know there's something wrong because there's a smell in the house. Amen. Right. And I've got a real sensitive nose. You ask my family, I'm always asking now, what's this smell? You know, what do I smell? Who did that? Amen. You know, and all the other smells that come from, you know, houses and teenage boys. Amen. But maybe he could smell it. You know, some people have maybe had a problem with mold in the house. And, you know, after time, you start to realize something just doesn't smell right here. If you ever had water in your house, we had a fire way back in my parents' house when we had just started deputation. We were out of our apartment. We were living with them. And I remember the night that house caught on fire. My dad and my brother were in the family room doing some things, and all of a sudden we're like, what's that smell? That's how we knew something was wrong. It didn't smell right, amen? And we started looking. We thought, I think my dad was cooking an apple crisp, and we ran up to check the oven. We thought maybe that was bubbling over in the oven. And it wasn't there, and we started looking because the smell was strong. And I remember we had a split-level home, and we had a furnished room, one stairway to the family room, one to the furnished room. We opened the door, and it was just engulfed in flames. Something had caught fire. And, you know, that was a tragic thing. But we've had times we've had water in the house. I remember a house we had, we were working on, and it was in the wintertime in Canada. And I went over there one day to do work on it, and there was water spraying everywhere. We had a bathroom in the upstairs corner, and a pipe had froze. So I ran downstairs to shut the water off. There was about 2 feet of water in the basement. And that was a huge disaster. But you know what? Sometimes disaster happens in houses and in our lives and in our families. And, you know, one of the key things to dealing with those things is recognizing it early, that there's a problem, that there's an issue. Listen, if it smells like there's something wrong, there's probably something wrong. Can I just say this? If it smells like in your spiritual sniffer, there's something wrong in your marriage, there might be something wrong. If it smells like mom and dad, that there's something wrong spiritually with your kids, there just might be something wrong, and you might want to look into that before it's too late so you can help them and get that problem resolved and fixed before it gets worse. God gives us senses, amen? And so this guy, the one that's supposed to recognize the problem, he said, is the one that owns the house. The responsibility is on his shoulders. Can I just say this? Someone has to own it.
Right.
And listen, the onus is on us, men.
Amen.
You say, why are our homes a mess? In not just in our country, but our homes are messed up in our churches today. You say, why? Because men are messed up.
Right.
Yeah, mothers are too. But man, if we get some things straightened out, we might be able to straighten some things out in our families. Amen.
Amen.
And so this man has the discernment. He says, it seemeth to me, that there is, a plague in the house. This is what it seems like. You know, we need some men today with that kind of discernment. Discernment for their homes, discernment in their marriages. I wonder, gentlemen, can you discern that there is a problem? And if you do, then what are you doing about that? Can you discern that there might be some contamination in your home spiritually? Do you have that discernment? Can you discern? Do you have any idea that something might be wrong? Can you tell that something's not right? Can you discern the signs? And you know what's sad? So often others can see it in someone else's life.
Right.
But we don't see it in our own life. I'll tell you who can see it. The preacher can see it.
Yeah.
If you're around enough, if you're not around enough, that's pretty easy to spot.
Yeah.
There's something wrong in the house.
Yeah.
If you can't be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, come for the revival meetings, you know, other than a few valid reasons why you can't be here. You know, we have a lot of excuses, but there's very few valid reasons. And if you can't be here when you ought to be here and you can't be faithful, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out there's something wrong in your house. There's a problem. So we need to be able to see that. We need to be able to discern that. Ladies, you need to have discernment. You know, the Bible says you're to be keepers at home. The Bible says you're to guide the children. You ought to know what's going on in their lives. You ought to know what's going on in the minds and the hearts of your kids. You know where I get a lot of my information? From my wife. And she comes to me and she'll say, this is going on, or this is happening. And she'll talk to you. You say, why? She's there a lot of times more than I am. She's the keeper of the home. And so her eyes and her ears are working for me. And then together we can work on those things and fix and solve the problems, the spiritual problems, before they get greater. Amen?
Amen.
And I just say this, man, if your wife tells you when you get home, one of your kids needs a spanking, amen, we still believe in that.
Amen.
Then you need to be a man and you need to administer it.
Yes. Amen.
The father ought to be the disciplinarian in the home. If mom says when your father gets home, you're in big trouble, your child better be in big trouble. Amen? Man up. Don't be a sissy. Don't be a wimp. Do what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says use the rod. Amen? And Christians today are getting away from that. Some of the dumb things that they do, it drives me crazy, I'll tell you. Some stuff, and you can preach on it, and people nod there and say, yeah, amen. And then they go home and don't do it.
Right.
Maybe you should go home tonight and just give them all one for good measure, amen? That'll fix something. I'll tell you, we don't have bad kids. We have bad parents.
Right.
If we didn't have such pathetic parents, Christian parents today, we'd have a different group of kids hanging around the church. The problem isn't always the kids. It's usually mom and dad.
That's right.
But you know what the problem is? They're ignorant. They have no discernment. You know, things happen, and parents will say this, oh man, I had no idea. Well, how come? What kind of parent are you? You couldn't smell that thing a year ago?
Man.
Forming in the life of your child? Husbands and wives, problems arise, and you know, oh, I just didn't know. You probably just ignored all the signs.
Amen.
Or you were too ignorant to see the signs. Maybe if you had a little more concern for someone besides yourself and your own pleasure and your own comfort and your own daily satisfaction. Maybe if you weren't so selfish and cared a little bit more about your husband or your wife or your children.
Right.
You would have saw some of the warning signs. If you get your head out of the sand or out of the newspaper or out of the TV or out of the social media, start paying attention to what's happening in the lives of your families.
Yeah.
There's a plague in the house. Clue in, start paying attention. We need to be able to discern as parents between the unclean and the clean, between the holy and the profane. This guy said, it seems to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Thank God he had some discernment.
Amen.
Some discernment. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even to those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil.
Amen.
That discernment is missing in Christianity today. The Bible says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And we are so deceived and so deluded. We can't, so many things of this world, we can't even discern between good and evil. That's why people say things like this. Well, what's wrong with it? Well, let me ask you something else. What's right with it? Is there anything good about it? Is there anything godly about it? Is there anything righteous about it? Is there anything uplifting about it? Is there anything that's going to build your family and help them get closer to the Lord and encourage them in their walk with God and help them draw nigh unto God? Plague in the house. He had some discernment. Secondly, we see this, there's intercession, verse 35. He says, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. You see that there? He that owneth the house shall come to the priest. You know what he does? He gets an expert opinion. He gives some professional advice, if you will. He seeks some help and some counsel. Amen? The Bible talks about counsel. Now, I believe if you just listen to the preaching of the Word of God from the man of God that He gives you week after week, service after service, we would need a lot less counsel in our lives. But you know what I found, Brother Andrew, is people don't have a problem coming and asking for counsel. You know what people have a problem with? Coming and getting counsel and then doing what you counsel them to do. Why do you waste the time of the preacher or the pastor or the man of God and go say, man, I got this problem in my life. Can you help me with this? Can you show me what to do? And he says, you need to do A, B, C, and D. And then you walk out and you don't do any of those things. I just pastored a small church. We never broke 50, amen, in 15 years. We usually went anywhere from 15 to 35 in that zone. Sometimes we were up in the 40s for a while. But even with that small of a group of people, I would talk to people and they'd say, what do I do? And how do I deal with this? How do I handle this? What do I say? And you give them advice from the Word of God and they go out and they don't do anything you advise them to do. That is foolish.
Yes.
Man. When most of the time you don't know what to do. Right. When disaster happens physically in a house, whether it's a fire, whether it's a flood, you know, they send these remediation companies in, and you'd be a fool if they said, you need to do this, we need to pump out the water, and then we need to jack up the heat, and we need to run these dehumidifiers for a week or 2 weeks and suck all that moisture out of there. Then we got to go in, we got to tear out all that stuff, we got to treat all that wood, we got to cut it up so high. They know what they're talking about. And every step that they give you is important. And we need to follow every step of advice that we're given from the Word of God is important. You say, that doesn't apply to my life right now. It may next week. It may next month. It may next year. It might 10 years down the road. You better heed that advice, that counsel. He's not this guy here. He's not 100% sure what the problem is. So he finds someone who can identify it. Amen? And he asks for help because it's beyond him. He goes to the priest and says, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Can I say this? When it comes to our family and our spiritual house, we need to get an expert opinion. And we need to make some intercession. Listen, maybe everything you think tonight is okay in your home. But when's the last time you got on your knees before God and said, Lord, is everything good in my house? Is everything good in my relationship with my wife? Is everything good in my relationship with my husband? Is everything good in my relationship with my kids? Lord, are my kids okay? Remember what Job did? He offered up sacrifices. He said, it may be that my children have sinned. It didn't say they had sinned. He said, it might be. You know what Job was doing? He was just making some intercession. He was making sure, hopefully, that everything was okay. When's the last time you've gone to the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and fallen down and did some intercession for your family? How about interceding instead of waiting till there's a problem? And Lord, everything's a mess, and God, I need your help. How about, Lord, would you help us to stay on the right path? Lord, would you keep us on the right track? God, would you save my children? Lord, would you help them to find and know and do your will for their life? God, would you help me to be a godly example to them? Lord, would you help our family to please you in all that we do and say and how that we live?
Amen.
How about some intercession ahead of time?
Amen.
Be a good idea. Have you asked the Lord for help? Have you asked Him to take a look? Well, you know, we try to do way too much on our own. And we try to fix way too many things on our own. We try to do too much without Him. John 15, still in the Bible, he said, without me, ye can do nothing.
Right.
Without Him, you can't raise your children. Without Him, your marriage may not succeed. It probably won't. Without Him, your family won't be everything He wants it to be. We try to do too much without Him. There's intercession. We need to make intercession. I want you to see this, verse 36. There's inspection. He said, there then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go in it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterwards the priest shall go in to see the house. Notice here, before the inspection, they have to empty the house. There's a removal of things, whatever is in the way, so that he can see whatever he needs to see, so that he can inspect every nook and every cranny and every corner, the upstairs and the downstairs, you know, whatever he needs to see. He says, get everything out of the way. He says, you have to empty the house. Can I ask you tonight, what is in the way of you getting things right in your home? See, I think a lot of us can probably sniff some things sometimes in our spiritual houses. But what is it that's keeping you from getting those things right? What is it that's preventing you from allowing God to do His work in your home? His work starts with inspection. Again, when's the last time you made intercession and then asked God, say, Lord, would you take a look? Would you check things out? Have you asked Him, is anything wrong? Have you asked Him what is wrong? Listen, if there's something wrong in your marriage tonight, before you go to the preacher and get counsel, you might need to do that. But have you asked God what's wrong?
Yeah.
You know what He'll probably do? He'll probably show you, sir, what's wrong with you.
Right.
And if you ask God what's wrong, ma'am, He'll probably show you what's wrong with you. Because you know what the Lord knows? He knows that us men cannot fix our wives. And He knows that our wives, no matter how beautiful and wonderful and how much they sweet talk us, you know, and tell us we're He-man and we're great and all of that, it's kind of like, okay, what do you want now? They can do all of that and more, but they cannot change us. Only God can change your spouse. And only you can make yourself what you need to be in that relationship. Have you asked God what's wrong with what you're doing and how you're raising your kids? Lord, am I doing everything right? Am I doing everything according to the Word of God? Have you let God do an inspection? You know, verse 37 says, and He shall look on the plague. And behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, yellow with yellow streaks, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shall shut up the house 7 days. You know what we see there? He finds an issue. The priest. He found a problem. There was some colored stuff in there, and I don't understand all about that. But you know what? He found that there was a problem. He said, you need to shut up this house for 7 days. You need to get out. You know what the priest can do? He can tell you what's wrong. He can pinpoint the problem. He can show you the contamination. He can show you what is defiled, because he already knows. Whatever's wrong in your house, if you'd let him do inspection, he'd show you what it is. Psalms 139, verse 23, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. How's the heart of your home tonight? Is the heartbeat of your home all that God wants it to be? Maybe He needs to do an inspection. I'll hasten. Verse number 4, we see there's a separation that takes place. Verse 38. He said there, He shut up the house 7 days. You know what needs to happen sometimes in our homes? There needs to be a separation from some things.
Right.
I'm not necessarily saying evil things. The Bible talks about us running our race and says that we need to lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily besets us. But you know, the truth is, sometimes in our homes, there's an awful lot of weights that we're trying to drag along as we do the will of God. You know what was wrong here? He said, for now, we need to just shut up some stuff for 7 days. He said, there needs to be a separation from some things. If not, contamination will occur.
Right.
Look at his reasoning there. Then the priest shall go out of the door of the house, verse 38, and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day, and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. See, he didn't want that to spread. In verse 36, he said to empty the house before the priests go in, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. If you don't empty it and you don't shut up some stuff for a little while and shut off some stuff for a little while and separate from some things for a little while, contamination can occur.
Right.
Do you understand that tonight? Sometimes you need to put some things off for a while. Sometimes you need to unplug some things for a while. Sometimes you need to shut them off for a while. You know, why do we have a problem laying aside the weights? It's a whole lot easier to do what you need to do without those things weighing you down. But we've got Christians today and marriages today and families, Christian homes that they're trying to do the will of God, but they've got so many things in their lives that are weighing them down that they're not willing to separate from, even for just a little while.
Amen.
You know, it would do you some good. Too much exposure to some things will cause spiritual harm.
Right.
Our homes are being overexposed. As Christians, we have a problem with moderation. And that's not just with what we eat, amen? That's with the things that we do.
Right.
The indulgences of this life. The things that we feed the lusts of our flesh on, the things that our flesh desires, we have a problem with moderation. We live and we serve God moderately, but we overdose and we overindulge on the world.
Right.
And we've got Christian world addicts. And the only thing, it's not that you're not saved. It's not that God has forsaken you. You're just so weighted down with so much stuff that you won't let go of and you won't separate from. It's almost impossible for you to do what God wants you to do and live the way God wants you to live and be the light that God wants you to be. Listen, are some of these, and I'm not even naming anything tonight. I'll let God do that. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that in your life. But can I just ask you this? Are some of these things so important you can't leave them alone for a while? You know what he said? Shut up the house for 7 days. You know what? That's a week. Can you not indulge in it for at least a week? Could you not just put it aside for a week? Can your kids not put it down for a week?
Amen.
You know what that 1 week might do? It might break the addiction in your life. For whatever it is. If you just separate and shut it up for a while. Shut it up for a few days. Amen. It might do you some good. It might help you greatly spiritually. 1 week might cure you of that problem in your life. In some cases here, that was all that was needed, just separation for 7 days, and the priest would come, and if the plague was not spread, then it was okay. But if it was, then there's other things they had to do. You know, after you shut it up for a little while, then ask God, Lord, can I take that up again?
Yeah.
Is it okay? Doesn't the Bible say in all thy ways, acknowledge Him? Lord, is this device, is it helping or is it hurting my children?
Well,
boy, they'd freak out if I didn't have it in my home. There's a solution for children that freak out.
Yes.
You can fix them fast, amen?
Okay.
It's a board meeting with the boss. Praise God. But how about, Lord, you know, would you look again? Is this problem in my life, is it taken care of, or does there need to be more time?
Amen.
It doesn't mean God might never let you do that again or participate in that again or whatever. But it just might take some more time. And we're so often not willing to have any separation. Then I see this expulsion, verse number 40. Then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take the other mortar and shall plaster the house. You know, he says there to take away. The priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is. You know, that's pretty specific. In other words, that priest could go in there and he could look and he could say, this rock and this rock and this stone and that one there, you need to get rid of all of those. Because if you don't, it's just going to keep spreading. The priest could find that specifically. And you know, there's a repair that can be done, but the repair starts with the taking away. When there's a disaster in the house, a plague in the house, the repair starts with the tearing out. He says there you have to scrape the house, get rid of the contamination, get rid of the defilement, get rid of the cancer, get rid of whatever it is that's causing the problem. Can I just say this? There are some things in the lives of Christians that need to be completely removed.
Right.
Totally. I'm not going to insinuate tonight that anybody's involved in anything. But there are some things in the life of believers. Sin, defilement, contamination. You need to get on your face before the priest.
Amen.
And you need to beg God for His help and His mercy and His blood to take it away.
Amen.
It needs to be completely removed. And any aspect of your life that might cause you to participate in that, you need to get rid of it all.
Right.
You can't take five stones and leave four there. You got to get rid of it all.
Yeah.
Complete expulsion. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Clamor is like a loud complaint. You know, Ephesians 4:31 would help some marriages tonight. If some of you would get rid of the bitterness.
Right.
Some of you would get rid of the wrath. Some of you would get rid of the things you're angry about.
Yeah.
That God can forgive. Why won't you forgive?
Amen.
The evil speaking, the clamor, the loud complaint to the girlfriend or the guy at work or sometimes even in front of the children.
Oh, man.
Clamor. You need to get rid of that stuff. That helps some young people with their parents.
Yeah.
Some of you kids are bitter at your mom and dad for something that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
And maybe they apologize for it, but you're still mad at them for it. Maybe you're mad because they got rid of some things that you liked when they're just trying to help keep you on the right track spiritually. You need to let go and get rid of that bitterness and that wrath and that anger. You need to stop complaining to your friends about it and other kids in church about it and your brothers and sisters about it and sowing those seeds of discord. Get rid of it. Deal with it. That would help some parents with their kids.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard parents complain about their kids to other parents. Oh, my child does this. My child, he does that. And oh, man, he drives me crazy. And well, then why don't you wake up and smell the coffee? Amen. Coffee stinks. So when you smell the coffee, you know there's something wrong. Wake up and smell the coffee. And realize that there's something wrong with what you're doing. If you would do things the way God told you to, you could enjoy your children.
Right.
And enjoy your family.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I've heard it. And it's crazy. I'll tell you, it's crazy. We need to deal with some things. We need to get rid of things. We need to get some of that stuff. Get it out of our lives. Get it out of our homes. Stop playing games. Put it off. These things are serious things.
Amen.
We must get serious about dealing with the plague in the house. The Bible talks about purging out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. You'll never be new till you get rid of that old stuff that just keeps on dragging you down. We see this, sixthly, a destruction of the house. Look at verse number 45. Verse 44, the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. Notice what he says, it is unclean. God help us see what is unclean. God help us. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. You know, the sad truth is leprosy has a destructive effect. And sin in the home has a destroying effect. And sin in the home can be brought in by one person. Sin in your life, dad, mom, children, sin in your life can destroy your family. It has a destructive effect all the time. It destroys individual lives. It destroys marriages. It destroys homes. It destroys churches. And it's destroying our country.
Amen.
Our country, our churches will never be any stronger than the homes that we live in.
Amen.
Sin destroys. Can I tell you this tonight, friends, if you don't deal with it, if you let it go too far, it can get to the point where the only option is break down the house. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been through something maybe awful. And I don't say this tonight to criticize you. I say it to warn those of us who are blessed by God to have what we have. Lord, help us look inside our lives, in our homes. Give us some discernment. Lord, show us if there's anything that needs a change, if there's anything we need to get rid of for a while, if there's anything we need to get rid of permanently. Because sin has a destroying effect. And it gets to the place where total reconstruction is the only option. Can I encourage you with this tonight? Lastly, we see a purification in verse number 49. It says, and he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. He shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And look at this, and he shall cleanse the house with the blood. Amen. With the blood of the bird, and with the running water. Verse 52. With the living bird, with the cedar wood, with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. You know, regardless of what your situation is tonight, your circumstance, regardless of what the problem in your house may be, there's purification.
Amen.
There's cleansing. You know what the answer is? It's the same answer that it's always been. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. In our homes, in our marriages, we can confess and get things right one with another, but we need to get on our knees before God. And the Bible still says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That means He's right to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood. And I'll tell you this, the book has a part in that cleansing. He talks there about the running water. And the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He talks about the washing of the water by the word. You say, how can I get it clean? How can I get it right? How can we get back on track? You need to get in this book and open this book and talk to the priest and say, Lord, show me what to do. And do what he says. And you can make it right. Can I just say this in closing tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you are spiritually a leper.
Right.
And you are living a life headed for destruction. We sang tonight about the blood. We sang about being saved. We sang about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you've never trusted Him. Just like this house with the leprosy that gets destroyed, you're just on a path to destruction. You know what the answer is tonight? It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you'd fall on your face before Him and confess your sin and call out to God, He will save you. But it's only through the blood and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some tonight there's problems in the home, and maybe that's the root of the cause. Maybe there's a dad here tonight that needs to be saved. Maybe there's a mom that needs to be saved. Maybe there's a child that needs to be saved. You know what the truth is? Salvation will fix a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe tonight the problem in your home is there's somebody that's lost. And you need to come tonight. And you need to forget about what everybody's going to think, what everybody's going to say. If you're here tonight and you're lost, a child or adult, you need to come tonight and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Get it dealt with. The only hope your home has is the Lord. But you can't just know about Him. You need Him in you. And if you don't have Him tonight, you need to come and be saved. Father, I pray tonight you bless the preaching of your word. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, maybe tonight we just gather around these altars. And Lord, maybe in our own perception, everything in our lives, everything in our homes is okay. But Lord, I wonder how often or how frequently or even when the last time that we got on our knees before you and just said, Lord, would you do an inspection? God, would you look and see if everything's okay? Lord, would you show me if everything is right in my life and in my marriage and in my home? Would you show me if there's a plague in my house? God, I pray you'd give your people tonight the faith to do what you'd have them to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you stand tonight with your heads bowed, eyes closed? We'll ask a pianist to come. I'm not going to ask you a bunch of questions this evening. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, I would simply say this. If God spoke to you about one thing, you ought to get on your knees and do business with God. Here at this altar, there at your seat. Don't leave this church tonight if God spoke to your heart. And not deal with whatever it is that He spoke to you about. Everything okay, Dad? Everything good, Mom? Husbands and wives, when's the last time you just got together and prayed for your marriage? Prayed for your children? Why don't you do some intercession tonight before you leave? And let God do an inspection in your life. Young person, how's your relationship tonight with your parents? Are you submitted? Are you obeying? Are you giving them a hard time? Are you rebelling? Are you being disobedient? There's a plague in the house. Why don't you ask the Lord if you're fully submitted to the authority of your parents in every area? There's some place you're not, and ask Him to help you to do that.